And now, live on 670 The Score and on the Odyssey app, it's Anthony Herron, former NFL defensive lineman and Iowa Hawkeye, football analyst for 670 The Score, Fox Sports, SiriusXM, Big Ten Network, and NBC Sports. Anthony Herron on 670 The Score.
Chi City. For the better part of the next 3 hours, I am your voice. This is Anthony Herron of Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Broadcasting live from the Hyundai Score Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. Score listener line is powered by BetQL. Bet smarter and beat the books. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com. It doesn't feel like the type of night where any sporting news would break, but just in case, breaking news on 670 The Score is presented by BetQL. Smarter bets start with BetQL. Download the BetQL app or visit BetQL.com today. And we know that there are always spectacular guests booked on the show. My guy Robbie Triano on the ones and twos for me this evening has a great lineup. Guests join us on the Score Hotline presented by Circus Sports Illinois. I am fresh off the road from the burbs. So my wife and I have kind of referenced it in passing, but we've just bought a place in the suburbs. We still at present reside in the city, but you know, we're kind of beginning the process of maneuvering our way out there. We're making some tweaks and adjustments to the home out there before everything is full go out there. But I realized, and I knew the thing I did today was something I was looking forward to, which the thing I'm talking about is cutting my grass in the suburbs, like cutting the grass at my suburban home, which is an odd, a goofy thing to look forward to. But I've been looking forward to it for a while. And as I finally got around to doing it, went and bought the new lawnmower yesterday and, you know, went kind of shopping around, comparing and contrasting. Let me hit up Lowe's. Let me hit up Home Depot. You know, getting a few opinions from the folks who know some things about Menards. Kind of just seeing, all right, what's available. I've only cut grass with a gas mower. That was my pre-existing history with lawnmowers, was with gas mowers before today, because yesterday, as I was comparing and contrasting, and you know, pros and cons to both, but I decided to go ahead with the wave of the future, and I went with the electric mower. Now, we don't have enough land out there where the riding mower made sense, even though, you know, all the sales folks I'm talking to, they're pushing the riding mower. But part of what, as I'm going through that process, and again, I knew I was looking forward to cutting the grass, but then one thing that started to crystallize for me a little bit was part of what I enjoy about cutting grass, and you know, over the years, main grass I've cut has been my parents' grass at my folks' house. And especially as I've gotten older, one of the things I really enjoy about cutting grass is being in the thick of the heat of summer, and especially once I get to this time of year where we're days away from the football season beginning, from football teams hitting the practice field and then padding up and hitting each other, and it's hot and muggy and you're sweaty and stinky and you're running into each other, and you finally kind of get done with that day's exertion, and you know, just got like today, the t-shirt I wore while I was cutting grass today, it just has like multiple layers of sweat all over it. And, you know, like I got my bucket hat on, so I'm kind of, you know, I got my dome protected from the heat of the sun to a certain extent. Certainly a very toasty day outside. But between yesterday and kind of, you know, dealing with the sales folks trying to sell me this and that with the mower, making all their recommendations, kind of processing that yesterday, and then just kind of going through the process today, one of the things I recognized is what I appreciate about just for whatever reason, what one of the things, I'd say probably a chief reason that I enjoy cutting grass is because, especially here in the Midwest, like, you know, it's not like we got any grass to cut in November and December. I'm not cutting grass in January. And for the most part, we're cutting grass. This is in the summer months. This is when here in Chicago and in the greater Chicagoland area, it's hot and muggy and it's uncomfortable outside. And you step out there and you're kind of stepping into soup when you're there. And, you know, especially when you start to cut the grass, you know, by halfway through the yard and really even prior to that, my body kind of feels like not the joints. I'm not tightening up. I'm not cramping up. But just being covered in sweat and having grass all over me and needing a water break on occasion and taking advantage of that, at this point in my life, at this age, that's kind of as close as I'm getting to that sensation that I used to have when I was still playing the game, when I was still playing football. And so just that feeling of being out, and it's not a real vigorous degree of exertion. You know, I'm 44. I'm not 64. I'm not 84. But it's enough exertion where, you know, pushing the mower around, you got a good sweat going. It's not at least for me at this point in my life, it's not necessarily a cardiovascular workout or anything like that, but I'm sweating, I'm mildly uncomfortable, and I like it. You know, like it's something that just because of the fact that teams all around the area, youth football teams, high school football teams, college teams, and yes, your Chicago Bears, they're all days, at most weeks away from reporting for training camp and having a lot of similarities. It's certainly a more intense and exaggerated version of what I'm describing here, but they're going to be sweaty. They're going to be in the sun. They're going to be exerting themselves and their clothes are going to be drenched. They're going to stink. They're going to smell really bad. And so, you know, made the trip back from the burbs, dealt with a little bit of traffic, get back here, shower up, and I'm ready for the radio show. But that was something that kind of crystallized for me a little bit between yesterday and today. Just the idea that, you know what, man, like, I don't know if I'd call it a guilty pleasure per se, but I knew I was looking forward to cutting the grass. Part of that was just like a symbolic thing as well, just with having the new home and, all right, homeowner, looking forward to kind of tending to my home, taking care of certain things like the yard. So, you know, that felt like a nice little milestone sort of thing for me today. But then also the way, and for years, and, you know, whether it's been cutting my folks' grass, the way that my body feels to some extent is probably as close, at least as I'm willing to get to feeling like I'm in the midst of a football practice. Now, I guess if I wanted to, I could find somewhere to go out there and run around and try to strap something up. And, you know, with my horrible knees and my awful back and my terrible shoulders, then I guess I could get much closer to that feeling if I really wanted to, but I don't. You know, I got a bunch of other retired friends who make the offer that, hey, you want to go do some extreme sport to get that adrenaline rush like we're still playing the game? No, I don't. Not at all. Or, hey, you want to come punch each other in the face? Like, I mean, there might be some joy I would take in that, but on the whole, I'm good. You know, I need my face intact. You know, like I'm on camera a good bit during the football season. So punching and being punched, I don't know. I wouldn't say I'd never do it, but it doesn't have a strong appeal for me. So for me, at 44 years old, the sensation of just at least being outside in the heat and just being sweaty and having some mild degree of exertion, I do get a little something out of that. And I would, to some extent, I suppose, define it. I don't know if it's a guilty pleasure or not, but it certainly that crystallized for me a little bit, just the reasoning behind taking a certain degree of pleasure in that. And talking about Bears training camp, this Friday, the Bears will report for training camp up at Hallis Hall. The Score will have in-depth coverage of training camp to get you set for the 2024 season. Bears training camp coverage on The Score is presented by ChevyDriveChicago.com and the number one draft pick, Chevy Silverado, the official truck partner of the Chicago Bears. On the show tonight in the guest lineup, got Patrick Finley, who will actually be with me in just a few minutes. Going to talk some Bears with Pat. Going to talk some Bears with Herb Howard. Going to talk about a lot of stuff. Bears and Cubs with Cassie Carlson from Fox 32. Adam Rittenberg will be with me later in the show as well. Talk about some college football. So got some spectacular guests, people I really enjoy talking to and breaking things down with. And that idea of training camp approaching is one that also lends itself to the idea that we are ever so close to Bears rookies. We are hours away from Bears rookies reporting to Halas Hall. And up to this point, we're still not seeing that. Caleb Williams, Roma Dunze, the Bears' two top 10 picks have yet to sign their contracts. And so it's significant because we are within, this is the week. This is the week where the Bears will report. We are within the time frame of knowing that rookies are in town right now. They're expected to be at Halas Hall tomorrow. Up to this point, all the returns on Caleb Williams have been extremely positive. Everyone's been impressed by the number one overall pick in the draft. But there is still this sort of lingering curiosity about how Caleb and, quote unquote, his team, you know, how they see the contractual aspect of how he can try to put himself in an advantageous situation. Now, with the way the rookie wage scale is set up, it's not easy for him, for his team, his representatives to really do that. But it's worthy of looking into, which they have obviously looked into. Who knows what exactly? And I still have yet to see any report of exactly what it is that Caleb Williams is hoping for, what the impasse is between himself and the Bears. Same with Roma Dunze. Don't know exactly what that is. That's the good thing about having the great guests that we have on the show tonight, because I do presume they'll be more informed on it than I am. But everyone's just kind of waiting, wanting, wondering what will be the case with Williams. Waiting, wanting, wondering with Williams. What is going to happen with Caleb? Rookies are expected to be in tomorrow. Full team, veterans report Friday for the Bears. They'll take the practice field the first time on Saturday. I don't even completely have a definition on when is it defined as a holdout. Is that tomorrow? Like, if Caleb isn't there tomorrow, is it officially a holdout at that point? Because, you know, there's an expectation that he's supposed to be there. Like, you know, he's officially supposed to report as a rookie with the rest of the rookies and the youngsters. So if Caleb isn't there tomorrow, it seems that that's when the holdout, the official holdout, begins then. Or is it not until, like, you know, technically, is it not until the full team is expected to report? It would seem to me that tomorrow is when it's officially a holdout. So if that's the case, then this thing we've been discussing since last week, like, when is it a big deal? When are we concerned? When are we worried? If it's a holdout tomorrow, tomorrow's the day where it's a big flashing red light. Tomorrow is the day when it's worthy of concern, because tomorrow would be the day then that Caleb Williams has officially missed work. Up to this point, Caleb hadn't missed any work. So if he's not there tomorrow, that means he is missing work for the first time as a member of the Chicago Bears. So that'll be one of the things I want to get into with Patrick Finley, with Herb Howard, with Cassie Carlson, even with Adam Rittenberg. And I know he follows the Bears extremely closely as well. We'll open up the phone lines a little bit later in the show also and just get a sense for where you're at with things, when you see yourselves getting concerned possibly about what's happening with the Bears quarterback. Because as I said to Groats, I was on with Mark Grody, we were filling in on the afternoon show last week. Caleb needs these reps. Caleb needs this work. Number one overall pick, rookie QB, expected to be the opening day starter. Matt Eberflus has already said that. And the Bears have big expectations as a team to perform at a high level. So if you're going to be counting on your quarterback to be ready right off the bat for regular season game one, all this time on task will be worthwhile for him. He could use it. Let's take a timeout, come back. We will get with my guy, Patrick Finley, and talk about the Bears, see where he's at with things, if he knows the latest on Caleb. Any updates on Caleb Watch? We'll get into that next on Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Where we are right now is a place where we can't be. We got to be at a level up. We got to level up two spots in those 4 weeks in the preparation of being able to say the call, see it in your mind, right, and then go ahead and execute it. You know, and that could be drawing it, you know, in the summer. It could be actually executing it if he's got guys out there doing it with him, and then owning it. You know, then you got to own it. So that's the biggest thing, the biggest step we got to take.
The voice of Bears head coach, Matt Eberflus, discussing his hopes, his dreams, perhaps, for quarterback Caleb Williams and the time away from the team and from Hallis Hall that they have been in the midst of. Now, his hope, just like most folks who care about the Bears, their hopes are that Caleb Williams will be there, will be available as rookies report for training camp tomorrow. But at the moment, that is not the expectation. So let's go out to the Score Hotline presented by Circus Sports Illinois and get the latest from one of the greatest. Patrick Finley covers the Bears and the NFL at large for the Chicago Sun-Times. You can find him on the X at Patrick Finley. Patrick, what's happening tonight, man? How you doing?
So you've made the move to calling it the X. I still can't do that. I can't call it X. I still call it Twitter. Does that make me an old man?
No. I blend. I kind of weave in and out of it a bit depending on the platform and the show. And when I think about it, you know, like I put some thought into it before the words left my mouth and kind of reminded myself to say the X. But I am still very guilty on a frequent basis of calling it Twitter as well. So I'm not there all the way, but I'm a work in progress, Pat, like all of us.
Yeah, I just say social media when I can. I don't want to I don't want to pump the thing up too much. But yes,
right.
You can find me there.
Right. That makes a lot of sense. We're trying to make sense of what's happening with the Bears and with Caleb. Let me start with defining this situation here, because I must admit I'm not completely sure. So rookies are supposed to report tomorrow. Caleb Williams and Roma Dunze are rookies. So if they ain't at Hallis Hall tomorrow, is it officially a holdout tomorrow?
Well, you have to have a contract to show up. So if they don't have a contract, they can't show up. It's not like a mandatory mini camp or rookie mini camp or OTAs where you ostensibly have a waiver that says that if you get hurt in practice, we'll still pay you the way we're expecting to pay you. So one of the first rules of training camp is you got to be under contract. Now, the next couple of days here is essentially rookie orientation. The Bears aren't going to hold a practice until Saturday with their veterans. So, you know, if you're worried about them, you know, losing any momentum, I wouldn't worry about that until Saturday at the very earliest. But, you know, if you're the Bears, you'd like to get this thing buttoned up here in the next 12 to 16 hours, I would think, and then everybody can report and start doing their rookie stuff and be ready for when the veterans arrive on Friday.
So is there as you kind of just evaluate the situation and have sort of suppositions in mind for where this could go, do you have a day or date in mind where it will be worthy of concern if Caleb Williams is not yet with the Bears?
Well, I mean, I think tomorrow is obviously the first one. You know, deadlines spur action. And, you know, we can sit there and say that, you know, the start of rookies reporting, you know, is probably the first hard deadline in this thing. And if they can get something worked out, you know, before the end of the day tomorrow, you know, it's probably no harm, no foul there. And then beyond that, like I said, maybe, you know, that Saturday practice when he would – you know, be out there with all the vets. You know, without him, you've got Tyson Bagent and, you know, a couple of third and fourth stringers. And, you know, that is a waste of everybody's time. So, you know, I'm pretty sure that this will get buttoned up before then, if not earlier. You know, you ask whether it's time to panic. I mean, there are five rookies drafted in the top 18 who have yet to sign. The only difference here is that, you know, these two Bears have to show up to camp about a week earlier than most everybody else, because the Bears are playing in the Pro Football Hall of Fame game on August 1st.
With Caleb and some of the, I guess, the additional scrutiny that the offseason and the storylines around him have brought, is there Is it more dangerous for Caleb or more dangerous for the Bears if for some reason this does drag into time where there's actual work taking place? Like, will the storyline be more negative for either side of this if Caleb isn't there on the practice field?
Boy, they really need each other, don't they? I mean, you know, it'd be bad for everybody. And you know, I'll tell you this: I spent part of my Saturday, down on the south side at a Caleb event in which Caleb was giving awards out to high school kids who were kind and who acted in a way that pushes back against bullying. And it's a really cool thing he did in Pullman. And you know who was there? Matt Eberflus was there. Ryan Poles was there. DJ Moore was there. I mean, this isn't some sort of, cold war that's going on between Caleb and the organization. And that should make everybody feel a little bit more comfortable about all of this. Now, who suffers the most? I mean, they both do, right? Caleb needs snaps, and everybody else on this offense needs snaps, as they try to learn Shane Waldron's offense. And, even if it's a Saturday in July, there's pretty tremendous value to that, not only for Caleb, but for, the receivers running routes and the tight ends running routes and the linemen blocking against air and all that sort of good stuff.
With the perception of the Bears as a whole coming in, it does seem like the thought that they are a playoff contender within a much deeper division than we thought a year ago this was going to be. What does progress potentially look like for the Bears this season? Because there's a variety of factors that go into the context of it. There will be a rookie quarterback. There is so much newness around the rookie quarterback on offense, and this is looking like one of the better divisions in football. So in year three for Matt Eberflus in it, there's a chance this is a better football team, but the results don't mean the Bears have an awesome record. So how do you sort of contextualize the Bears, the situation they go into for this fall?
I'm still trying to figure out, a couple years in now, whether playoff team is a compliment. The NFL has set it up now to where, there's a lot of mediocrity in the playoffs. I mean, look at the first team to make the playoffs is the 7 seed from the NFC, the Chicago Bears. And, that was not progress. That was not a sign of anything. That was just there had to be a 7th team because they sold TV rights, right? So, I try to separate playoff team from progress because I think you can have one without the other. You're right. I mean, they could make the playoffs and still finish 3rd in the NFC North. That is certainly possible. Is for what I'm looking for. I'm looking for kind of a, parallel tracks here. You look for Caleb to get better with each passing day. You look for him to improve. And you realize that, with the exception of the kid who plays for the Texans, most rookie quarterbacks don't have this thing figured out at the end of year one. You have to make peace with that, but you have to look for improvement. At the same time, the Bears have enough good players at other positions that, they can win games without Caleb Williams being a superstar. And, I mean, to me, that's, that reminds me a lot of Mitch Trubisky's second season, in which, he would come out and all he had to do was make a good throw or two, and the defense would give him the ball on the positive side of the field or return an interception or a fumble for a touchdown. And all of a sudden, the Bears are a pretty good football team, even though their quarterback's not necessarily the reason why. I think that's kind of the path this year, at least in the first half of the season. And then, if Caleb can be the reason why you're winning at the end, I think that is a great jumping off point for 2025 in the future. Now, I'm looking at something like 9-8, 10-7. I think that would be progress for sure. And even, you could convince me that if they have the same record this year as they did last year, but it's clear at the end that Caleb is who we thought he was, that even that big picture is progress. Because like you said, in the NFC North alone, I mean, there are going to be 6 really difficult games for the Bears to play. And I'm not sure we could have said that at this time a year ago.
Patrick Finley of the Sun-Times, my guest here on Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. I mentioned the newness on the Bears offense with folks like DeAndre Swift and Keenan Allen, Gerald Everett, whoever's the center, whether it's Coleman Shelton or Ryan Bates. I don't know who that is. But out of the new veterans that the Bears have added on offense, is If you had to pick an individual out of that group that you think will be perhaps the most important to the Bears' offensive success this season, who stands out?
Boy, I think it'd be hard to say someone other than Keenan Allen.
Okay.
Just because, you know, there are so many questions that then can, you know, spin off of him. You know, if he has a great season or a season that's like last year, you know, how much money do the Bears throw at him? You know, does he want to stay in the Midwest? I mean, this is a guy who has played for the same franchise his whole life. You know, somebody who went to college in California, then lived in, you know, he's lived in the Bay Area in San Diego and in L.A. He's kind of doing the tour of the state there. And, you know, his family, I think, is going to stay back in California. And you wonder whether he'd want to stick around here beyond this season. If Rome Odunze is as good as advertised, you might not need Keenan Allen beyond this year. You might be able to look around and say, we've got the quarterback on our feet, or on his feet. We've got Odunze on his feet. We should be able to proceed forward. So I think Allen playing well could portend a lot of good things, not just for him, but for the other guys around him. You know, the flip side of him is that he gets hurt. And, you know, there's no reason to think that, you know, as he ages, he's going to get any healthier. You know, so, you know, keeping him healthy and allowing him to perform is going to be a really big deal for them. Because, boy, if he is going right and you've got DJ Moore and him and Odunze kind of on the rise, that's as dangerous a trio as exists in the NFL. But, you know, if he, you know, rolls an ankle in week two, and then, you know, maybe you're expecting something out of Rome that, you know, he's not ready to give in his second or third NFL game, it looks a lot different, doesn't it?
Yeah, it certainly would, man. There's no doubt about that. The offensive line, I've been kind of telling folks that I feel good about the front five. I do have concerns about the depth, but part of the reason I feel good about the front five is the thought that if the two guards and the two starting tackles are all healthy, then they can help the center out. And Shane Waldron will also be tasked as a play caller with helping the center out. Are you concerned?
I'm concerned about health with the offensive line always, just because I think you saw last year how many different combinations did they start. It was something like 13 in 17 games, something like that. So, you know, you really want that. You want everybody to be on the field together because that's how an offensive line gets better. You know, Tevin Jenkins, you know, needs to put together a full healthy season here. He's up for a new contract at the end of the year. It'd be really interesting to see what the Bears do about him. You know, I'm with you. I have my concerns at center, but I do think that the depth that they've assembled is better than they've had at any point during Ryan Poles' tenure. You know, when he first got here, their lack of O-line depth was one of the things that really disturbed him. You know, and, you know, there's some obvious other things with the offense that that he didn't like, but, man, he just thought even, you know, into last year that they didn't have just enough guys to withstand the rigors of a season at offensive line. He thinks they're a lot better there now. And, you know, and he might be right. You know, they got to figure out that center spot. I think Ryan Bates is probably my leader in the clubhouse right now, in part because, boy, they've loved him for years. and they really did, you know, go ahead and make a trade with the idea of him being the starter.
And you've been a part of the group there asking Matt Eberflus questions at every training camp that he's been the head coach of the Bears. And last year, part of what played out was that the starters didn't get as many reps in the preseason games as might have been anticipated, but there were so many guys banged up. I know, you know, you guys on the beat have kind of talked to Eberflus about that already throughout the offseason here. So what do you anticipate will be the preseason plan for playing time?
That's funny. That's one of those things that, you know, their health and training camp became a talking point in like week four. Like, I don't think it's something they want to do at Mitt kind of, you know, in real time. But then, you know, when you don't have Tevin to start the season, you know, Nate Davis, you know, had a personal issue going kind of through the first month of the year. You know, that's, you know, at some point it becomes, you know, pretty obvious that they really could have used that time together. You know, I look at their schedule right now and, you know, they're scheduled to practice a couple of different times on the day before a preseason game. That is really weird. As you know, that's just not something NFL teams do during the regular season, at least. So, You know, we will ask him about it on Friday and exactly what his plans are. But I wouldn't be surprised in the least if they played their starters on a very minimal basis, given that, you know, shoot, if they're willing to put him, you know, through a practice the day before, that leads me to think that they are not going to get a ton of snaps on a Saturday or, you know, even on a Thursday night. The Pro Football Hall of Fame game, I presume Caleb is going to go out and play a series or two. I presume, you know, a lot of their, you know, veterans might go out and stretch and, you know, maybe play in that first series. But I think you're going to see a lot of backups on national television with the world watching, you know, in the first game.
Before I let you run, Patrick, one of the questions that Robbie Triano, my producer tonight, kind of has in the rundown I'm going to get into later in the show is about the idea of the opposing quarterbacks that the Bears face. I referenced the depth of this division looking enhanced, but you know, you talked about C.J. Stroud from Houston. The Rams have Matthew Stafford. You know, of course, they'll face Trevor Lawrence during the regular season. They got all the divisional opponents that'll be there as well. Is there a quarterback, Geno Smith, late in the season from Seattle? A lot of options to choose from. Is there a quarterback the Bears will face on the schedule this season that you feel like, you know what, that's the best guy. That's the best opposing QB that the Bears have on the schedule this year.
Oh, boy. Boy, that's tough.
I don't know if you're a Brock Purdy guy. They do play at San Francisco later in the season as well.
Yeah, I mean, C.J. Stroud, I mean, to me, in terms of – you know, I'm going to answer this as somebody who's excited to watch an opposing quarterback. And I'm excited to see C.J. Stroud in the second week of the season. You know, I just don't know that anybody in the history of the game has been a better rookie quarterback than this guy was. And, you know, to see the leap that he makes in his second season is going to be really exciting. I mean, what's the old saying? What the best part about a sophomore is that they're not a freshman anymore or something like that? I mean, that usually applies to rookie quarterbacks who are bad, but this guy's floor is unbelievably high already, and I'm really curious to see his ceiling. You know, J.J. McCarthy is somebody who later in the year when the Bears play the Vikings, I'll be excited to watch. You know, I think he'll be a much better quarterback in November and December than he would have been in September. But, you know, he's somebody that I like coming out of the draft, not nearly as much as Caleb, but I still thought he might have been the second best quarterback available, and he's a local guy. And I think for years, you know, that the two are going to be compared to each other because they're in the same division, because JJ is from here, and because, quite honestly, you know, the Bears scouted him, and you know, we're very impressed by him. So, you know, those are the two right now. But boy, C.J. Stroud. He's going to get top billing for me.
Yeah, he's pretty special. There's no doubt about that. And it seems that you have little faith in Sam Darnold. We'll see, man. The former USC QB, he might keep JJ off the field for a minute. I'm not ruling that out.
JJ's another guy. JJ hasn't signed his contract either.
Right.
So, yeah, let's get everybody signed up, and then I'll feel a lot better about being able to watch them once the regular season starts.
Oh, no doubt. I look forward to seeing you up at Hallis Hall. I'm sure I'm going to make my sojourn up there to camp, you know, at some point while everything's going on. So you make sure you just keep a seat warm for me when I make my way up there.
I will. It's the hottest ticket in town. Yeah, absolutely. I look forward to it.
Yeah, folks selling those free tickets to Bears training camp, making some money off of them. That is a sight to behold. Patrick Finley of the Sun-Times. Thanks a lot, man.
Hey, thank you.
He was joining me on the Circus Sports Illinois hotline. One thing I mentioned to Patrick Finley there was the question that Robbie Triano asked. He had it in the rundown. I really like that as a topic. The idea of who the best opposing quarterback is that the Bears will face this season. There's a whole lot of ballyhoo about this Bears defense, but kind of when you dig into the numbers and you look at the second half of the season last year and the opposing quarterbacks they faced, not a whole lot of home runs on the quarterback roster that the Bears were shutting down and at times shutting out and picking off. Like, yeah, Jared Goff was playing well, but you know, aside from him, a whole lot of quarterbacks that weren't doing a whole lot against anyone in the NFL, let alone that Bears defense. And when they faced some good ones, you saw how things fell apart, especially late in a few games. So coming into this season, looking at the Bears defense and through the prism of not only how the Bears defense will perform, but who they have to perform against. Who is the best opposing quarterback that the Bears will face this coming season? I think that is a great question. We will examine that. Look forward to your thoughts on that as well. feel free to shoot me a text at 312-644-6767 or give me a call. Let's open up the phone lines. 312-644-6767. We'll come back. I'll run some of that down, give you my thoughts on the opposing lineup of QBs the Bears will face this coming season and who is a number one at the top of that list. We'll do that next on The Score.
On third and goal, just a four-man rush. Goff to the end zone, and St. Brown held on for the touchdown and the first Lions lead of the day.
Takes the handoff. Boot to the right. Stroud is going to throw the deep ball up in the air. It is caught. Touchdown, Dalton Schultz. A rainbow for 37 yards. C.J. Stroud can do no wrong.
Love fakes the handoff, rolling right, looking, fires into the end zone, caught for a touchdown. It's Romeo Doubs.
We're back live with more Anthony Herron on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
Just a few glimpses at some of the opposing signal callers that will be on the schedule for the Chicago Bears this coming season, facing some good ones. You heard about Jared Goff there, clips of him throwing to the sun god, Amon-Ra St. Brown. Bears within the division there will match up with them multiple times. Also going to match up, I mean, you know, one guy who, as of this moment, is destined for the Hall of Fame. I think out of any of the quarterbacks on the Bears schedule, and the question that was posed to me by Robbie Triano basically just kind of boils down to who's the best quarterback the Bears will face this season. And I love the question because in the context of the way that we regard the Bears defense coming into this year, the context of that from the second half of the season, whereas the first half of the year, yeah, they made some plays. They did some nice things. The secondary was outstanding. The linebacker core in the first half of the year made plays, made tackles. Not as many splash plays the first half of the season as the second when they began to take the ball away, when they began to sack the quarterback. That switch flipped with the acquisition of Montez Sweat. They haven't made any other big defensive line acquisitions over the offseason here. So pass rush will likely be similar to last year, unless we see development from some of those young Bears up front on the D-line that we can get into a little bit later in the show. But that being said, the opposing lineup of QBs they faced was not stellar. Starters of below-average caliber, a number of backups as well, the Bears picking the ball off, putting the offense in advantageous positions, and second half of the season, the Bears' defensive numbers, there were metrics that said that was the best defense in football the second half of the year. So everybody else in the NFL was facing the same QBs also. So you don't want to take too much away from the Bears' D, but there is some context to that. As we look at the schedule they face this coming season, I do agree that that's noteworthy. So who is it? Who's the best QB the Bears will face this season? 312-644-6767. As I look at the opponents there, C.J. Stroud is the name that Patrick Finley gave me that tops his list. I think it's difficult to argue with that choice with one of the great rookie quarterbacks, one of the great rookie seasons we've seen in NFL history. C.J. Stroud completed nearly 64% of his passes, threw for over 4,100 yards, a 23-5 touchdown-interception ratio, and an over 100 passer rating. So outstanding. Record-setting rookie season as a passer from C.J. Stroud. The Bears will see him in week two on national television, on Sunday Night Football on NBC. So theoretically, we'll see C.J. Stroud versus Caleb Williams, assuming Caleb has signed his contract by then and he's behind center for the Bears. But the quarterback who, if he just stopped playing today, out of any of the QBs on the Bears' schedule for this coming season, the guy who actually has a Hall of Fame resume already, like we can project that C.J. Stroud, after that rookie season, may be on a Hall of Fame trajectory, and we really think that Trevor Lawrence has all the potential in the world, so maybe by the end of things, Trevor Lawrence could become a Hall of Famer. You can kind of go down the list here. If Brock Purdy and the San Francisco franchise start winning a bunch of Super Bowls, is Brock Purdy the next Tom Brady? Is Green Bay going to have their third consecutive Hall of Fame QB in a row with Jordan Love? But the guy that as of today would be in the Pro Football Hall of Fame with the career that he's put together is Matthew Stafford. The LA Rams just won a Super Bowl a couple of years ago. Matthew Stafford led them to that title. And the career that Stafford has put together through, what, 14 or 15 seasons in the National Football League, over 56,000 passing yards, over 350 touchdowns. I mean, just a marvelous career he's put together. And then he adds the Super Bowl championship trophy, the Lombardi trophy, to that resume. So I would have to say it's Matthew Stafford that's the best quarterback that the Bears will face this coming season. 312-644-6767. Let's go out to the phone lines. We got Josh, who's out in Crystal Lake, with some thoughts on the Bears opposing QBs. What's happening, Josh?
Hey, how's it going?
Not too bad.
Yeah, you know, the C.J. Stroud thing, like everybody's been on this talk for a long time now, and it's just we got to slow down. We got to slow down, and we've been here and done that with so many quarterbacks, and everybody's just giving him way too much, and he has not earned it yet. He had a good season, but there's a lot of ways you can look at it too. If we go back and we look at all the metrics, like let's just look at the defenses he played on, and I'm not saying I know 100%, but let's just look at the defenses that he faced last year, maybe some defenses that had key players out, et cetera, et cetera. Like, he had a good season, and you got to give him his props for that. But moving forward, he was still a rookie quarterback, no matter what. No matter what, he has not proved anything yet in this league, and we got to slow our roll.
All right, I can respect that. I can respect the idea that Josh the caller says about slowing your roll on a rookie. I was certainly in that camp, and it wasn't Patrick Mahomes' rookie season, but his first season as a starter with the Kansas City Chiefs when he wins NFL MVP and makes it to a Super Bowl. Did he win a Super Bowl? At least made it to a Super Bowl, if not won it, or something like that, his first year as a starter. But just, you know, just took the world by storm his first full season as a starter in Kansas City. And, you know, I was in the crowd that was saying, okay, you know, he was so impressive and all the highlights and the no-look passes and everything else. We'd never seen anything like it before. I would like to see it for at least one more year before I say he's the best quarterback in football. Now, I don't hear anybody saying yet that C.J. Stroud is the best quarterback in football right now, but the trajectory that he's on, I mean, we only have the one season to judge C.J. Stroud on, and it just happens to have been a record-setting season. And not only a record-setting season statistically, but he took the moribund Houston Texans, of all people, to the playoffs. Playoffs! That's what he did. That's what C.J. Stroud led them to. So he had a historic rookie campaign. I think context, I'm Captain Context, so I'm all for that in response to Josh the caller. Want to see it again for another year before I say that C.J. Stroud is a guy who is going to be right there on this Hall of Fame trajectory or he's the best quarterback in football. But the sample size right now is his rookie season. And for a rookie, there's certainly a strong case to make. There's never been a rookie quarterback who has performed as well as C.J. Stroud performed last year. Will he build off of it this year? I believe he will, but we, of course, shall see. Curious for the thoughts of Herb Howard on this particular topic. I'll make sure that we get that from him as well, just in evaluating the Bears' defense and the Bears' opponents for this coming season. One of my favorite people to talk to in regards to all topics concerning your Chicago Bears. We'll get Herb on the line next on Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
On third and goal, just a four-man rush. Goff to the end zone, and St. Brown held on for the touchdown and the first Lions lead of the day.
Takes the handoff. Loop to the right. Stroud is going to throw the deep ball up in the air. It is caught. Touchdown, Dalton Schultz, a rainbow for 37 yards. C.J. Stroud can do no wrong.
Love fakes the handoff, rolling right, looking, fires into the end zone, caught for a touchdown. It's Romeo Doubs.
We're back live with more Anthony Herron on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
Just a few glimpses at some of the opposing signal callers that will be on the schedule for the Chicago Bears this coming season. Facing some good ones. You heard about Jared Goff there, clips of him throwing to the sun god, Amon-Ra St. Brown. Bears within the division there will match up with them multiple times. Also going to match up, I mean, you know, one guy who, as of this moment, is destined for the Hall of Fame. I think out of any of the quarterbacks on the Bears schedule, and the question that was posed to me by Robbie Triano basically just kind of boils down to who's the best quarterback the Bears will face this season. And I love the question because in the context of the way that we regard the Bears defense coming into this year, the context of that from the second half of the season, whereas the first half of the year, yeah, they made some plays, they did some nice things, the secondary was outstanding, the linebacker core in the first half of the year made plays, made tackles, not as many splash plays the first half of the season as the second, when they began to take the ball away, when they began to sack the quarterback. That switch flipped with the acquisition of Montez Sweat. They haven't made any other big defensive line acquisitions over the offseason here, so pass rush will likely be similar to last year, unless we see development from some of those young Bears up front on the D-line that we can get into a little bit later in the show. But that being said, the opposing lineup of QBs they faced was not stellar. Starters of below average caliber, a number of backups as well. The Bears picking the ball off, putting the offense in advantageous positions. And second half of the season, the Bears' defensive numbers, there were metrics that said that was the best defense in football the second half of the year. So everybody else in the NFL was facing the same QBs also. So you don't want to take too much away from the Bears' D, but there is some context to that. As we look at the schedule they face this coming season, I do agree that that's noteworthy. So who is it? Who's the best QB the Bears will face this season? 312-644-6767. As I look at the opponents there, C.J. Stroud is the name that Patrick Finley gave me that tops his list. I think it's difficult to argue with that choice, with one of the great rookie quarterbacks, one of the great rookie seasons we've seen in NFL history. C.J. Stroud completed nearly 64% of his passes, threw for over 4,100 yards, a 23-5 touchdown interception ratio, and an over 100 passer rating. So outstanding, record-setting rookie season as a passer from C.J. Stroud. The Bears will see him in week two on national television, on Sunday Night Football on NBC. So theoretically, we'll see C.J. Stroud versus Caleb Williams, assuming Caleb has signed his contract by then and he's behind center for the Bears. But the quarterback who, if he just stopped playing today, out of any of the QBs on the Bears' schedule for this coming season, the guy who actually has a Hall of Fame resume already, like we can project that C.J. Stroud, after that rookie season, may be on a Hall of Fame trajectory, and we really think that Trevor Lawrence has all the potential in the world, so maybe by the end of things, Trevor Lawrence could become a Hall of Famer. You can kind of go down the list here. If Brock Purdy and the San Francisco franchise start winning a bunch of Super Bowls, is Brock Purdy the next Tom Brady? Is Green Bay going to have their third consecutive Hall of Fame QB in a row with Jordan Love? But the guy that as of today would be in the Pro Football Hall of Fame with the career that he's put together is Matthew Stafford. The LA Rams just won a Super Bowl a couple of years ago. Matthew Stafford led them to that title. And the career that Stafford has put together through, 14 or 15 seasons in the National Football League, over 56,000 passing yards, over 350 touchdowns. I mean, just a marvelous career he's put together. And then he adds the Super Bowl championship trophy, the Lombardi trophy, to that resume. So I would have to say it's Matthew Stafford that's the best quarterback that the Bears will face this coming season. 312-644-6767. Let's go out to the phone lines. We got Josh, who's out in Crystal Lake, with some thoughts on the Bears opposing QBs. What's happening, Josh?
Hey, how's it going?
Not too bad.
The C.J. Stroud thing, like everybody's been on this talk for a long time now, and it's just we got to slow down. We got to slow down, and we've been here and done that with so many quarterbacks, and everybody's just giving him way too much, and he has not earned it yet. He had a good season, but there's a lot of ways you can look at it too. If we go back and we look at all the metrics. Like, let's just look at the defenses he played on. And I'm not saying I know 100%, but let's just look at the defenses that he faced last year. Maybe some defenses that had key players out, et cetera, et cetera. Like, he had a good season, and you got to give him his props for that. But moving forward, he was still a rookie quarterback, no matter what. No matter what, he has not proved anything yet in this league, and we got to slow our roll.
All right, I can respect that. I can respect the idea that Josh the caller says about slowing your roll on a rookie. I was certainly in that camp, and it wasn't Patrick Mahomes' rookie season, but his first season as a starter with the Kansas City Chiefs when he wins NFL MVP and makes it to a Super Bowl. Did he win a Super Bowl? At least made it to a Super Bowl, if not won it, or something like that, his first year as a starter. But just took the world by storm his first full season as a starter in Kansas City. And, I was in the crowd that was saying, okay, he was so impressive. And all the highlights and the no-look passes and everything else, we'd never seen anything like it before. I would like to see it for at least one more year before I say he's the best quarterback in football. Now, I don't hear anybody saying yet that C.J. Stroud is the best quarterback in football right now, but the trajectory that he's on, we only have the one season to judge C.J. Stroud on, and it just happens to have been a record-setting season. And not only a record-setting season statistically, but he took the moribund Houston Texans, of all people, to the playoffs. Playoffs! That's what he did. That's what C.J. Stroud led them to. So he had a historic rookie campaign. I think context, I'm Captain Context, so I'm all for that in response to Josh the caller. Want to see it again for another year before I say that C.J. Stroud is a guy who is going to be right there on this Hall of Fame trajectory or he's the best quarterback in football. But the sample size right now is his rookie season. And for a rookie, there's certainly a strong case to make. There's never been a rookie quarterback who has performed as well as C.J. Stroud performed last year. Will he build off of it this year? I believe he will, but we, of course, shall see. Curious for the thoughts of Herb Howard on this particular topic. I'll make sure that we get that from him as well, just in evaluating the Bears' defense and the Bears' opponents for this coming season. One of my favorite people to talk to in regards to all topics concerning your Chicago Bears. We'll get Herb on the line next on Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.